More bankers go to Washington.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. President Obama hosts More Bankers today at the White House, and this time they are representatives of small and community banks. The president will ask, among other things, for those banks to lend more to small businesses. With an unemployment rate of 10%, some states are starting to have a tough time getting all those payments out, the jobless benefits payments. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman joins us live this morning to explain. Good morning, Mitchell.
Good morning, Steve.
So how deep is this hole that states are in right now?
Well, it's about $24 billion, and it's expected to grow to about $90 billion, according to the Department of Labor. Here's the problem. The basic unemployment compensation program in each state is funded by a small tax on employers. 25 states have already run out of money in this recession. You know, keep in mind, we've lost 8 million jobs. Another 15 states are headed to insolvency. Andrew Stettner of the National Employment Law Project says many states didn't raise enough money when times were good.
Unemployment insurance financing was neglected for more than a decade. The funds were drained through tax cuts. We're facing the program's largest financing problem in its 75-year history.
Hey, Mitchell, are unemployed people at risk of not getting their checks?
No, they're not for the most part. The feds backstop these plans and they lend the states the money. Ultimately, though, the states have to pay the money back and they have to refill their unemployment trust funds. So in state after state, they're having these horrible debates. Keep in mind, states set their own benefit levels and they decide who's eligible. So they're weighing cutting unemployment checks to residents who are struggling on the one hand or raising taxes on businesses that are struggling on the other.
All right. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman with us live this morning. Mitchell, thanks.
You're welcome.
Well, there is some good news. Markets are up overseas in Europe by under 1%. Investors in a buying mood today, maybe because there's some other buying going on. State Street said today it'll pick up the securities services business of Italian banking group Intesa Sanpaolo. It's a near $2 billion cash deal. Asian shares were mostly higher. The Nikkei is at a three-month high. Yesterday here at home, the Dow tacked on 85 points, and stock futures are pointing to a higher open today as well. It's a huge entertainment merger that's been proposed, and now British regulators are giving it a green light. Marketplace's European correspondent Stephen Beard has more on the link-up of concert promoter Live Nation and Ticketmaster.
Live Nation is the world's biggest producer of live concerts. It stages 22,000 of them a year in 33 countries. Ticketmaster is the biggest ticket agency. Together, the two companies would be a major force in live music. At first, that worried the UK Competition Commission. It feared that Live Nation would funnel all its ticket sales through Ticketmaster, and that would lead to higher prices. But now, on reflection, the Commission has changed its mind. It says the deal will not lessen competition. Quite right, too, says Greg Palmley, editor of IQ magazine.
Any concert promoters are looking to sell their tickets as quickly and as effectively as possible. There are a lot of other ticketing agencies out there, a lot of different ways to sell tickets. For Live Nation to just sell their tickets through Ticketmaster, I don't think that's going to happen at all.
Today's go-ahead means the merger faces no obstacles in Britain, but in the US, the Justice Department has yet to deliver its verdict. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Bank of America, working to meet the capital needs of qualified businesses and consumers. Learn more at bankofamerica.com/ahead. And is distributed by American Public Media. For information about underwriting this or other APM programs such as Marketplace Money, visit americanpublicmedia.org.
Well, the 21st century started with record highs on Wall Street, about as many Americans working as possible, interest rates low, home ownership high, even federal budget surpluses. But the first decade of the century ends far humbler than that. Fortune magazine's Alan Sloan is with us this morning with a look back. Hi, Alan.
Hi, Steve.
So what do we call this decade?
Well, my boss calls it the decade from hell, but I have a much more elegant name. I call it the awful aughts.
The awful aughts, the zero zeros.
Exactly so.
Economically, how do we characterize this decade?
Well, I believe the technical term would be wretched. We started out with a boom. We've had two market collapses. and very large unemployment. But other than that, everything has been great.
What do you think was the most profound event of the decade that affected the nation economically?
Well, I think there were actually two of them. The first one was 9/11, sure, which, in addition to all the things we know about, unleashed in Washington complete irresponsibility when it came to cutting taxes and fiscal stuff. And the second thing was the end of the tech bubble, which was, you know, very early in this decade. And that got the Federal Reserve to cut interest rate, or short-term interest rates, to almost nothing, which in many ways helped beget the housing bubble, which, as you know, near the end of the decade popped and has caused a whole lot of the mess that we have.
You sound pessimistic, right? Because the awful aughts will be followed by, what's the next decade, the terrible teens?
or what I think may happen, which might be the terrific teens.
Really?
Yeah.
I'd explain that.
Well, 10 years ago, there was what I thought of as mindless optimism. And when you start from a high level and you think everything is going to be great, you're invariably disappointed. But if you start out at sort of a low ebb, which is what we have, and you don't have many expectations, you're generally surprised on the upside. And I suspect that if you and I are both doing this in 10 years, we might come to call this the terrific teens, and then we can go out drinking and celebrate.
Why don't we regroup in about 10 years and see if that comes to fruition? How about that?
That sounds like a plan.
Happy New Year, Alan Sloan.
And to you, Steve Chiatakis.
All right. And finally, how do you divide the winnings when two people are playing a slot machine? A French court ruled that a woman who made the original bet gets most of the money, 80%. Her gambling partner who pulled the lever on the slot will get the rest. The judges say there's no judicial definition of the winner in a slot machine game. But in this case, they say, it was a team effort. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.